you think he needs a cap? That would be great for him. Anyway, never mind. Let's see. Oh, I wanted to go over the points that I talked about yesterday. I also will put on my website at Luther Seminary a link to 4 worksheets that I give students that I had on hand yesterday about each of the 4 Gospels and who Jesus is in each Gospel. We did that as a kind of full group, but if you want to see some stuff I've put together that I could have just downloaded into your notebooks had I wanted to do that, you can go to luthersem.edu/mshore and find it there. Promise fulfillment. The God of Israel is keeping promises in and through the life of Jesus. The gospel writers talk about Old Testament prophecy being fulfilled in this one, and even speak about Jesus as God with us, or the Word made flesh. Jesus is God incarnate. I have clips where I want to show films trying to demonstrate each of these points as we go through this hour. Then ministry. Jesus creates conflict. After somebody said, they were sitting right there, Jesus seems to create conflict in what he does. I went back and thought about it and thought in each of these things. Healing, he does that on the Sabbath and gets into trouble. He gathers people, but he gathers the wrong kind of people in some view. Sometimes people want to know why he's eating, where he is, and why certain people are following him and so on. And as he teaches, he reinterprets the law, everything from it's okay to pluck grain on the Sabbath, which is kind of a loosening up of the law, to if you hate someone, you're sinning against the commandment against murder. In all of these, one of the really interesting questions for me in historical Jesus research is what got this guy killed? You know, and it's not that you had to torque anybody really, really badly if you're a member of the provinces and you're living in the Roman Empire, but, there had to be a kind of edge to him that got him at least noticed by people powerful enough to get to Pilate and get him killed that way. What got him killed? On to cross and death, promise fulfillment, ministry of Jesus, his cross and death, or passion and death. Jesus is rejected, tried, convicted, and executed. About a third, did I say this yesterday, of the Gospel of Mark is passion narrative. It's not quite right, I guess. It's more like a quarter of it is passion narrative. But at the halfway point in chapter 8 of a 16-chapter gospel, Jesus predicts his death for the first time. In chapter 9, Jesus is headed to Jerusalem in Luke, well before he actually gets there. The shadow of the cross kind of is cast back over so much of his ministry. Resurrection. All the Gospels have resurrection narratives. Not all the movies have a very good resurrection narrative in them. Maybe interpreting this charitably, maybe because it's pretty hard to say what actually that looked like. I like it very much that I like pointing out that people don't recognize him right away. That he looks like the gardener to Mary Magdalene, and he looks like a stranger on the road to Cleopas and his companion. They see this figure on the beach after they've been fishing, and Peter thinks it's the Lord. But then when they actually see him, they're scared about talking about it or saying it. Whatever Jesus looked like, apparently it was a surprise, not just his being alive, but his appearance. Or maybe, you know, if you see somebody die, you just so wouldn't expect him to be walking around. That they can't see him. They can't see him till they can imagine that he might have risen from the dead. And then I have this category called next, and the movies do almost nothing with it, but I have maybe one good clip and one shot at it. What I mean by next is the disciples are sent out This is really important to me because I work in a place that's constantly talking about mission and training missional leaders and caring a lot about making the Christian, making Christian claims understandable and compelling to people who haven't heard them or haven't heard them in a way that's convincing. The disciples are sent out to tell others, and they await, in the midst of all this, they await the return of Christ. There's something, the other reason this is important to me is that I hope it gets better than this. I have some hope for things working out, the reconciliation of all things to God in Christ. I want to find a way to tell this story from the perspective of eschatological hope, of no more crying or tears or pain or all that, you know, Revelation 21. How do we talk about that? The New Testament is clear. I mean, we'll talk about it a lot. The movies, they render the man. They will tell you they'll tell you Jesus. They'll give you a sense of Jesus. I don't think any of them very well give you a sense of a big dream beyond. I preached a sermon in first week called The Next Big Thing and was trying to say whatever that hope is, my guess is it'll be as weird to us as Jew and Gentile sitting at the same dinner table together was weird to the Jews in the first century. And we'll have to go back to our scripture and say, you know what, we wouldn't have expected this. But now that we reread the texts, we're seeing it's not that the Gentiles are going to stream into Jerusalem, but that we're going out to the ends of the earth and making disciples, people who will name the name of the God of Israel and worship that God. What's the next big thing? This is, I think, kind of the story that I need Christian preaching to have at its heart a particular narrative. This is what I'm talking about. I can also put this thing on the website if you want. So I'll do that and then people won't have to scribble. Oh, and the questions I want to think about with you at the end, like at 9 o'clock when we're done here, are these. We can talk about other questions or we can talk about these at the fireside chat or whatever, but I had three questions that were in my mind as I worked through the films. What elements of the narrative in the Gospels do you need in order to be telling Jesus' story and not some other story? Good story, maybe true story, but not Jesus' story. Are there elements of that narrative that you can take and leave and some that you just can't give up on? And so think about that as you think about how you tell this story. What about the focus on the cross? Or not. In Godspell, for instance, it's much more Jesus telling parables, Jesus building community, Jesus in some ways fighting the powers this weird scene where he's fighting a big paper mache thing. On the other hand, the Passion of the Christ is all cross. It's the last 12 hours of Jesus' life, the back of the thing says. What about the focus on the cross? Is this where the center of gravity is for you in the story of Jesus? And then how might one represent the hope of Christians beyond what we have, what we can see now in a film about Jesus? I don't have an answer to that, but I'm hoping it interests somebody enough to talk about sometime here. Okay, back to the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 elements of the story. And some video for you. Maybe we haven't tried this. We didn't get everything like the sound working before, so we're gonna see if it works. This is Godspell, famous introductory Godspell piece. Godspell has the best John the Baptist figure, probably of any of these movies. And now we see if the bookmark works. Are we going to get sound? Should we not have lights?
We do well now to conform with all that God requires.
When wilt thou save the people, O God of mercy, when? The people, Lord, the people, not thrones and crowns, but men. Flowers of thy heart, O God, are they? Let them not pass like weeds away. Their heritage, a sunless day. God save the people. Shall crime bring crime forever, strength aiding still the strong? Is it thy will, O Father, that men shall toil for wrong?
Oh, no, say thy mountains, no, say thy skies. Man's clouded sun shall brightly rise, and songs be heard instead of sighs.
God save the people.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord. God save the people. You'll see the end of this movie too, but this is just going to be frustrating for everybody. starting and stopping. The next thing I want to show you is A little bit of the passion. This is the only scene I like in this movie. For some reason, I was asked by the communications office of the ELCA if I would go and see this movie the day it came out, and then be available for a couple of Christian radio show interviews and talk about it, which was fine. I mean, whatever. But I couldn't find any place. I mean, I remember mostly staring at my lap during this movie, and I couldn't find any place to, any way in except for this scene. And I put it in here, and we can talk about this movie more if you want to. There are lots of people I care a lot about and I respect as Christians who like it a lot, and it doesn't work for me. In this scene, however, you get a sense of Jesus as human and child. Looking at it today, as I went over it again, reviewing for this, I thought it's also kind of a devotion to the Virgin Mary. But we'll watch it here. For a kind of look at incarnation, he's maybe in some ways... You get a sense of Jesus as a human because you get a sense of him as a little boy.
Villa questa, quis.
Villa.
Villa Mater Galileis. Vamos.
Iure!
In cede!
At once. I'm going to skip one of those, I think, in the interest of time, but I'll show you. Does anybody? Well, that's it. I did not know of this movie. It was a miniseries made in 1977, Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah, Zeffirelli. Yeah, I had to marry into movie. Hank married a catechist, and I married a movie catechist, a Christian catechist. I didn't know this. You'll notice a couple things. One is it's kind of slower than anything we see nowadays in television. I'm surprised at how slow this moves compared to what I'm used to. And
there it is, the Sea of Galilee.
77 television movie.
It's a town of fishermen, but it also has the greatest synagogue in Israel. You can stay at my brother's house. He's a good man, Simon Peter.
The commandments God gave to Moses so long ago must not remain dead stone for the reverence of unthinking minds.
Dead stone? The tablets of the law, dead stone?
What do you mean, Rabbi?
Stone is what the law is written on. For the law itself is alive. And living things are constantly changing.
But our law is eternal.
You cannot change the law of Moses.
No.
That's right, the law is here.
A man is made of flesh and blood. And he changes. Doesn't he remain the same man? God wants to write the law on your hearts.
Rabbi, you said you have come here to give us the good news. Is this it? The good news? That the law is living like a man?
The good news I bring you is this. Your captivity is over.
What does that mean, our captivity is over? What captivity?
Captivity in sin. God fulfills the promise he made to our people Israel and reconciles himself to man. God is coming to you. To all of you. Even the most wretched. Do not shut the door in his face.
The demon has always tried to throw him into fire and into water to destroy him. If you could do anything, have mercy.
Help my poor faith.
Leave him.
Thank you. Oh, my son, my son. Praise be the Lord.
It's all right. It's all right.
I'll show you the teaching. Jesus of Montreal is a story about a small troop of actors that gathers to put on a passion play and what happens to them. What happens to them is they get some heat from the Catholic hierarchy because they've updated their passion play and they're telling it a little more like a Jesus seminar kind of passion play might work than what the priest wants. This is my favorite Jesus movie. And now I have to, you know what? What I want is this, because it'll show me which.
Quand un enfant venait au monde, et que le père n'était pas heureux de cette naissance-là, pour une raison ou une autre, il allait déposer le bébé dans la rue, sur la place du marché.
Et alors?
Et ben, le bébé mourait, ou il était ramassé par des marchands esclaves.
Mais la mère, elle...
Ça, on sait pas. Je suis en train de me rendre compte que c'est presque impossible.
Salut.
Salut. Entre.
Messieurs, bonsoir. Alors voilà, est-ce que c'est possible d'inclure le monologue d'Hamlet dans le spectacle?
C'est pas évident, mais ça se peut toujours.
Moi, j'ai toujours voulu dire ça. Mais comme il y a peu de chance maintenant que je puisse...
Quelqu'un allait répondre. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
Vous m'aviez donné l'adresse, alors... Voilà.
Entre.
Ça vous inquiète pas de jouer ça?
Pourquoi?
C'est une tragédie, c'est dangereux.
Pas dangereux d'être ridicule, hein? Ouais, c'est ça que Verdi me disait.
Quand on joue une tragédie, il arrive souvent des malheurs.
Bon, dis pas des trucs comme ça.
Bon, ça sera, ça sera.
Mm-hmm. Whatever will be. The future is not ours, tu sais.
Ça sera, ça sera.
Cha, cha, cha.
This is a Jesus
teaching. Moi je vous dis de ne pas jurer du tout.
During the passion play.
Votre parole soit oui si c'est oui. Non si c'est non. Tout ce qui est rajouté relève du mauvais. Malheur à vous, les législateurs, parce que vous chargez le peuple de fardeaux impossibles à porter. Et vous-même, vous ne touchez à ces fardeaux d'un seul de vos doigts. Méfiez-vous des prêtres qui se plaisent à circuler en longue robe, à recevoir des salutations sur les places publiques, à occuper les premiers rangs dans les temples et les premiers fauteuils dans les banquets, qui dévorent les héritages des veuves et affectent de longues prières. Ils subiront ceux-là une condamnation plus sévère. Celui qui voudra devenir grand parmi vous devra être votre serviteur. Celui qui voudra être le premier parmi vous devra être l'esclave de tous. Ne vous faites jamais appeler rabbin, ou mon révérend père, ou mon seigneur, ou éminence, car vous n'avez qu'un maître qui est dans les cieux, et vous êtes tous frères.
À la fin de sa vie, ils étaient très nombreux et très puissants, tous ceux qui avaient hâte de le voir crucifié.
We'll get there. We're not going to look at this right now. Crucified Messiah. This is the new Jesus Christ superstar. There's a new one, 2001. By new, I mean. You'll notice the difference. Same music, different look. Some of us need the cross in this story for this reason, not because we're into a sacrificial atonement or blood and guts, but for this reason. Oh yeah, this is Jewish authorities as Darth Vader look-alike. That's Judas. That's Simon the Zealot.
But add a touch of hate and wrong, you will rise to a greater power. We will win ourselves home. Oh, you get the power and the glory, forever and ever, you get the power and the glory, forever and ever.
Forever. Never. And ever. You get glory. Neither you, Simon, nor the 50,000, nor the Romans, nor the Jews, nor Judas, nor the 12, nor the priests, nor the scribes, nor doom Jerusalem itself. Understand what power is. Understand what glory is. Understand.
Now I have for something completely different. I don't know when this was done. I saw it in about 1991 for the first time. It's a music video. And instead of showing you more of the passion or something, I wonder if actually if Mel Gibson saw this. There's pieces of it that look a little bit like his scourged Jesus and so on. But it's only about 4 minutes long. Whoa, wait a minute. Where are you? Come here.
Tommy Good was
I don't think this does continuity with Jewish traditions very well. But other stuff I like a lot.
Watch. blessed sign for troubled times. Nobody knew his secret ambition. Nobody knew his claim to fame. He broke the old rules steeped in tradition. He tore the holy bell away, questioning those in powerful position, running to those who called his name. But nobody knew his secret ambition was to give his life away.
On to Resurrection. Let's see what I've got here. Here's, I told you you'd see the end of Godspell, didn't I? God, I did tell you that. When I first saw this movie, I thought it's the Gospel of Matthew and then the resurrection scene is kind of a, lo, I am with you always, and kind of back on the street. Resurrection and mission sort of together. I looked at it today and I thought, that was charitable of me. Not as much here as I remembered, but I'll show it to you. This is cross in Godspell and resurrection. would work if I saw the Jesus figure in the crowd coming toward me? That whole thing would work. And I don't see him. He's maybe there. I don't see him. And it's so... I don't know why he isn't. I mean, I don't know what that's about. Here's... Jesus of Montreal. This scene is called The Last Station. They have kind of a moving passion play, as it were. They have a mobile passion play. And people are, the actors you see at the beginning of this are running to the next station to change costumes and so on.
Parjurera pas.
Ah.
Or, moi, je vous dis de ne pas jurer du tout. Que votre parole soit...
Dernière station, attention à l'escalier, il est assez à pic.
L'utilisation des lieux est redoutable.
Je suis tellement émue. Mais à part la mini-série, là, est-ce que vous avez d'autres projets?
Non, rien de signé.
On fait ça en silence, s'il vous plaît, on ne retarde pas le monde.
Qu'est-ce que t'as?
Il était mort depuis longtemps. 5 ans, 10 ans peut-être. Les disciples s'étaient dispersés, déçus, amers et désespérés.
Mourir. Dormir. Rien d'autre. En finir avec le chagrin et les milliers d'agressions que nos corps doivent subir. Voilà la délivrance que nous souhaitons tous. Mourir. Dormir. Peut-être rêver. Voilà l'ennui. Quand nous serons enfin libérés de ces liens charnels, quels rêves viendront hanter notre sommeil final. Voilà ce qui nous arrête. Cette crainte prolonge la calamité de la vie. Car autrement, qui pourrait supporter les humiliations du temps qui passe? Les torts des oppresseurs, les insultes des vaniteux, les douleurs de l'amour méprisé, les lenteurs de la justice, l'arrogance des fonctionnaires, les injures que font subir aux honnêtes gens les crapules. Qui voudrait supporter le fardeau de gémir et de suer tout le long d'une vie ennuyeuse et pénible si ce n'était de la crainte de quelque chose après la mort? Cette contrée mystérieuse d'où ne revient jamais aucun voyageur. Qui nous force à subir des maux que nous connaissons plutôt qu'à nous précipiter vers d'autres dont nous ne savons rien.
Aucun voyageur sauf un, sauf lui.
Qui?
Lui.
Voyons.
Je te jure. Enfin, au début, je l'ai pas reconnu, c'était pas exactement lui. Et puis tout d'un coup, j'ai senti que c'était... C'était lui qui me parlait. Il était présent, il était là. Je te jure. Je te jure, crois-moi.
Vous avez l'air bien triste, vous deux.
Nous parlions d'un ami que nous avons perdu autrefois.
Un prophète exceptionnel. Tenez.
Seigneur, c'est toi! C'est toi. Peu à peu, beaucoup furent convaincus qu'il était là. Son corps avait changé. Personne ne le reconnaissait jamais au départ. Mais ils finissaient tous par croire qu'il était présent au milieu d'eux. À part Pierre et Jean, ce n'étaient même pas les disciples d'autrefois, mais d'autres. Paul le pharisien, Barnabé, Étienne, et puis des étrangers, des Grecs, des Romains. Leur conviction était si profonde qu'ils étaient prêts à mourir pour elle. Ils furent crucifiés à leur tour, décapités, lapidés. Ils demeuraient inébranlables. Jésus avait vaincu la mort et il les attendait dans son royaume. Ils incarnaient l'espoir, le sentiment le plus irrationnel et le plus indéracinable, le mystère de l'espérance qui rend la vie supportable, perdue dans un univers énigmatique.
Il appartient à chacun de juger le moment venu et de choisir les voies du salut. N'interrogez personne d'autre que vous. Il faut se fier à soi-même. Avec humilité et courage.
Comblez toutes les failles, toutes les fissures qui existent entre vous et les autres. Aimez, craignez, suppliez. Marchez avec eux.
Au fond, notre vie est très simple. Elle ne devient d'une complexité insurmontable que lorsqu'on pense uniquement à soi. De l'instant où on ne pense plus à soi, mais où on se demande comment aider les autres, la vie devient parfaitement simple.
Jésus est vivant. Nous l'avons rencontré. Aimez-vous les uns les autres.
Cherchez le salut en vous-même.
Que la paix soit avec vous et avec votre esprit.
You saw, I guess, a little bit of the kind of mission and hope language there in Jesus of Montreal. Here's the last thing I'll show you, and then we'll quit. This is Jesus of Nazareth again. The very last scene. Oops. One of the things that's hard for a New Testament scholar watching Jesus of Nazareth is it is the harmony of the four Gospels. So one minute you're with Luke's Jesus, and the next minute Jesus is breathing on you and saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And I don't like it. but probably doesn't bother everybody. I love the differences. I sleep with my synopsis under my pillow. And I don't like them all mushed together.
It was written, "The Son of Man will suffer, and on the third day will rise again from the dead to enter his glory. You are my witnesses to this. Now my Father in heaven is reconciled to the world. And as he sent me, so I am sending you." receive the Holy Spirit. Go like lambs among wolves. Make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teach them the gospel and the commandments I gave you. Now, I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. O Lord, stay with us. For the night is falling, and the day is almost over. Don't be afraid. I am with you every day, till the end of time.
Those are my questions back. It's 9:08 on my watch. Do you want to break, do ice cream, and do fireside chat after? Is that a... Bob, is that cool? Yeah. I think we're headed to ice cream. Thanks. We'll be back at 9:30 to talk.